Good morning. If you have your bulletins, turn to the last page. I would like you to take a note. Fresh off the press, we are going to go see the Eagles, not the basketball player Eagles, but those birds that fly out at Starved Rock on February 23rd, which is Thursday. It will leave at 11 o'clock like we do when we go out there to see the leaves. We never get to see the leaves, but we get to drive out there and eat dinner. And we'll have lunch, and they tell us there is no tour. There's nothing guided. Just go look for them. And the colder it is, the more likely you'll see the eagles. If it's really warm, you may not see any eagles. You'll just have to eat lunch. And you will not see any eaglets at all unless they're ready to leave the nest and they'll be looking bigger. Okay? That's the word. We're going to pass a sign-up sheet into the Sunday school class. Cost will be $25. That way we can pay for the lunch and everything. And we'll leave at 11 o'clock. So write that down on your bulletin. It wasn't time to put it in the bulletin. We just got this secured yesterday late. Okay? When are we going to go see the Eagles? The 23rd, last Thursday. Okay? Not this next coming Thursday. We got 2 weeks to put it on your calendar. We need to pray for my voice a little bit. I'm done with that sickness thing. It's long gone. But I still got the frog kind of staying behind. So we're going to fix that maybe. You know, there's a lot of talk in, you know what a mega church is? That's a bigger one than we are. They're like thousands of people. And in the mega churches, there's a lot of talk about something that's called the prosperity gospel. Raise your hand if you've heard of that phrase, the prosperity gospel. Now raise your hand if you believe it's true. There is a prosperity gospel, but it's not the way it's being presented. If it were true the way it's presented, God would have to apologize to some suffering saints throughout the years who never saw that wealth and yet were faithful in following him. Some have indeed died penniless and destitute even. Pastors in Illinois in the last 20 years, after they retired with no retirement, lived eating cat food. They served God faithfully. Where's the prosperity gospel in that, you might ask? Contrary to what you may have heard, wealth is not the evidence that God is showing his favor on you. Did you understand what I'm saying there? Just because you're wealthy doesn't mean God's smiling on you. You just might be a good businessman. You might just have been smart. We don't know necessarily why. But just because you're wealthy doesn't mean God's favor is on you. And neither is poverty a sign of his displeasure, or he'd be upset with the most of the world who live in poverty. The fact that even the poor will have abundant life escapes these prosperity preachers. Going to their church won't make you rich. Coming to Jesus doesn't necessarily make you rich in the material sense, but it certainly is abundant life. Now I want to talk to you today about the truth about the abundant life, because we will have it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, and he's talking about the devil here, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Ding, ding, ding. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Again, he's not talking about stuff. Satan is the deceiver. He's the thief. He's the one who brings death and destruction. If you don't believe that, read the book of Job. It was the devil that took everything away from him at God's permission. God said, consider my servant Job, and Job lost everything. Where is the prosperity gospel? That Job didn't lose everything. He just lost everything that was stuff. He kept his faith in God and was restored many times over. When Jesus came to this earth, he came, think about it, to the poor, to the crippled, to the demoniacs of all people, to the outcasts. He came to touch lepers, the sinners. He didn't come for the wealthy. He came for the destitute, those who, for all intents and purposes, were the walking dead. That's not talking about a TV show today. People who were walking around as though they were dead men because they had nothing. And it looked like for all the world God was cursing them. And Jesus came to seek and save what? That which was lost. And Jesus took their burden. He took their death. And he gave them something that is life, his life, eternal life, abundant life. That's what he gave them. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he who has the Son has the life. That means if you're born again of his Spirit, you got the life of God, the life of Christ in you. It doesn't get more abundant than that when very God dwells in you. Now, if I was in a Pentecostal church, I'd have got amen for that. Are you awake yet? Somebody say amen so I know somebody's here besides me. You know, it's dark out there. I can't see where you are. You're out there, though. I don't have good eyesight either. The life that Jesus gave us and gives us is abundant life. The scripture passage, John chapter 10, goes on in verse 11, and it says this, that Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, we don't understand that terminology much because not too many of us are sheep herders. My dog is. Ask anybody who comes to the house. She thinks everything that walks on two legs is a sheep, and she herds them. She nips them. But Jesus was the good shepherd. Well, he was a carpenter's son. He wasn't a shepherd, we say. Oh, he's the good shepherd because we are his sheep. And he says a lot of things about shepherds that we don't understand as city folk. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The shepherd will leave the 99 sheep that are in a group and run after the one that's strayed away. That's the good shepherd. The shepherd would lay down in front of a cave when all the sheep were bedded down at night behind him. And any wild animal that wanted to get at his sheep had to go over the shepherd. He was the door. And he is the door. Nothing gets to his sheep without going through him. Ask Job. The devil couldn't touch Job except the Lord let him. It is in the context of this shepherd relationship that we begin to understand abundant life. You see, it is not in the possession of things. If so, some of us would feel like we had abundant life and some would not. And it would depend upon circumstances in life and whether the stock market rose or fell. But abundant life doesn't depend upon that. It depends upon who you know. It doesn't depend upon what you possess. It depends upon who possesses you. If Jesus possesses you, you've got all there is and so much more. As believers, we're his sheep. Now, years ago, I don't think I should do this today because I'm older, but I'm going to try it anyway. Just for fun, the sheep makes this kind of noise. Now, I want you to try it. If you're his sheep, say, I heard one good sheep and I heard two goats. Come on, one more time. It's fun. It'll get the frog out of your throat. Now, God heard that and he says, what are you doing? He'd rather hear you say, praise God, I'm sure. But we're his sheep. And as his sheep, we ought to act like his sheep, which means we know the shepherd's voice. We follow him wherever he goes, and we know he protects us. A sheep has abundant life when he's following his shepherd. As believers, we're his sheep. John chapter 10, drop down to verse 27. Listen to this. My sheep, oh, come on. Play with me, will you? Good. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now listen to this. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Wow. Are you beginning to sense the abundance of life that you have if you're one of his sheep? You should. Are you beginning to see the magnitude of its significance? He sought us. He bought us. He redeemed us. He brought us from death into life. And he became one with us the moment we first believed. The great mystery of the gospel, Paul says, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One more time, I got to ask you. Are you his sheep? Thank you. Amen. Amen. You're getting better. The goats are going away, just the sheep are here. Amen. That's pretty abundant, isn't it, all that he did? You might say that the transformation was kind of like going from being a goat to becoming a sheep. And that's very often used in the Bible as the difference between lost and saved, the sheep and the goats. You know, none of us got suddenly wealthy or got a lot of treasures of this world simply because of our choice for Jesus. In fact, for many, just the very opposite became true. They took their earthly possessions and they laid them down for the sake of following Jesus. Think of Zacchaeus, that wee little guy that was up in that tree. When he came down, not only did he get saved because Jesus was coming to his house that night, but he said, if I've wronged anybody, I'm giving back four times what I took. That's going to make him pretty broke. You see, physically, materially, he's broke. But spiritually, he has abundant life. You may think you're poor, but if you're thinking of it in terms of money, your thinking's wrong. In fact, you might say you're thinking stinking. The truth is, if you're born again, you have abundant life. You don't have to go to a mega church to let them tell you, oh, he'll smile on you and give you riches if you just love him and sing pretty songs. No, you got all there is when you got Jesus. If you want anything more, you're going the wrong place. You're looking for the wrong thing. If Jesus isn't all you need, Jesus isn't who he said he was. He's very God, and very God came to dwell in very you. That's abundant. Somebody say amen, please. I got to keep awake. I got to keep awake. Think of Zacchaeus, and think how much wealthier you are spiritually than even Zacchaeus was. Jesus gave us real wealth, not this mundane, temporary trinkets that one day turn to dust or rust. I've never yet seen a U-Haul go to the cemetery where all their stuff is packed up. I'm packing my stuff up, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to need a big U-Haul. But I'm not going to take it to the cemetery with me. When I go, it's staying here. But the abundant life that I'm taking, I take to heaven with me because it's wrapped up in who Jesus is. His are spiritual treasures. Not only spiritual treasures, there are also treasures that we store up in heaven, a place where rust isn't going to get to, where moths cannot eat. Those treasures, Paul says, nobody can describe them. Eye hath not seen, nor can man even imagine what God has laid up there for us. That may be stuff, but you don't get it now. You don't even need it now. What you need is abundant life that he gives you now. The abundant life, which is something that gets more of the more you give away. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you tell somebody about Jesus and they get accepted, you got some more abundant life. What you gave to them doubled yours. Almost like Elijah gave Elisha a double portion of his blessing. Our great shepherd, Jesus, was in the spirit of David, if you will, when David wrote the Shepherd's Psalm. And he wrote about the abundant life that Jesus years later was going to provide. Now, you all know the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. We've learned it as a kid. We taught our own kids how to say it, and some of them still remember it. But I want to break it down and listen to it first. He says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." I like the way KJV says it. He restoreth my soul. "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley," we say the shadow of the valley of death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How many of you knew that song? From the King James especially. Our age, we got the King James down. How many of you taught your kids to say it? Said it with maybe at bedtime, the Shepherd Psalm. In the year 2007, a rewrite was made. Philip Keller wrote the book. A shepherd, meaning a pastor, looks at the Shepherd Psalm. It was very popular back in 2007. He had been a shepherd for a while, and he used his experience to explain the Shepherd Psalm in those terms. But the book was originally written in 1975. It was an older book, same title, same kind of imagery. And I read that book to my kids, A Shepherd's Look at the Shepherd's Psalm. It describes the abundance that Jesus is talking about. The abundance that's missed by those who only think it's material wealth. So I want you to look with me closely at the 23rd Psalm. Just a little bit line by line. True abundance and the truth about abundant life. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Say that, I lack nothing. Now say, bah. That's why I lack nothing. Okay? Believe it. Say it again, I lack nothing. Say it with conviction. I lack nothing. But wait, I can't pay my mortgage. I don't care. You lack nothing. But I'm not sure I'm driving the best car. It doesn't matter. You lack nothing. And the moment you say you lack something, you call God a liar. Because if you lack anything, it's only stuff. You lack nothing that's important. If you have Jesus. Now listen, if you don't have Jesus, you lack everything, no matter how much you have. It's just the opposite, you see. How many of you lack nothing today? Raise your hand. Amen. Because I got all I need in Jesus. Jesus supplies all my needs, not some of them. What he doesn't supply, I must not need. He is named in the Old Testament El Shaddai, which means literally the many-breasted one. He supplies all my needs. Not my wants. Unless my wants match his wants. And when you delight in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart because then your wants are his wants. I lack nothing because he gives me all I need. Now watch this next verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now sheep understand that, but human beings don't get that. What's that mean? It's talking about daily bread, green pastures, plenty to eat. You're laying down in your food bowl. There's grass all around. Green pastures. The sheep aren't worried where their next meal's coming from. This is talking about, from the Lord's Prayer, he gives me my daily bread. All my provisions comes from this book. This is the bread of life. Jesus was the bread of life. This is your daily bread. Eat it and live. And you're surrounded by that every day if you get into his word. All my provision, everything I need comes from him residing in me and his word that I read. And if you're not reading his word, you're starving yourself to death. You're a really skinny sheep. Recall what Jesus said to the destroyer back when he was wrestling with him in the temptations. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You don't live by the cereal and the bread and the eggs and the bacon and all that stuff you eat. That'll feed your flesh. But if you want to feed your spirit, you read the Word of God and digest it. Some parts of it are the milk of the Word. Some parts of it are the meat of the Word. And I dare say some of the Christians who are his sheep are the skinniest sheep around. Because we eat so that our flesh is fat, but we do not eat so that our spirit is fat. I have all I need, right here, right now, with God inside me and the Word beside me. That's abundant living. But he goes on. He says, not only that, he leads me beside quiet waters. Oh, if you do that today, all the noise that's coming out of Washington and California and Chicago and New York on CNN, CBS, TBS, all of the stations. Everywhere you look, the noise is just loud noise. And it's disturbing noise. And sometimes you just want to turn off the TV and turn off your computer and just sit in quietude and say, Lord, give me peace. And he gives you an opportunity to be beside quiet, still waters. His is the peace that passes understanding, that makes no sense when the world is going so fast around you that you can actually stop, focus on God, and get that peace. When circumstances are swirling around, life gets hectic, I have that thing we talk about called peace like a river in my soul. He's my resting place, the Bible says. He is my hiding place, the Bible says. And under his wings, Psalm 91 says, I find refuge. Now people say, are you saying God has wings? Might as well, because that's where I run when it's so loud outside. I got to get under his wings. There is a place of quiet rest. Where? Near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest. Where? Near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. You want that quiet place? Get alone with Jesus. Get away from the world, and he'll give you the quiet waters of his presence. Oh, the songwriters of old, they got it right. I'm sure the songwriters today are getting it right too, but I can't hear it over the music sometimes. Some of their words are probably powerful, but I can't even understand them because the music outplays them. But when they're showing up on the screen, I say, wow, they're saying the gospel up there. That's not so bad. But I just happen to love the old hymns. They stir me. They tell the gospel story. And they let me feel the power and majesty and presence of God line by line. And I know the words, many of them by heart. We have very few of those hymnals on Thursday to pass out, and I never have to take one. Donnie always gives me one, but I don't have to take one because most of them, if I don't know the words, by the time Duke sings the first two words, I got the rest of the sentence. Why? Because I've sung them for years and years, and it's the same old story. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. That's abundant living. So I lack nothing. He gives me all I need. And he gives me peace, even when there is no peace. And then he says he refreshes or restoreth my soul. If you don't see abundant living yet, you're blind to what real abundance is. What, you see, when I'm in the depths of despair, have you been there recently? I sure have. You've been in sadness of spirit. You're brokenhearted, and you get that way sometimes. When I'm weak in my resolve, have you ever been there? Weak in your resolve. When I grow weary, yet he abides with me still. He doesn't say, I'm not going to stick around you, you sad puss, and leave. He says, when you are weak, then I am strong. It is in your weakness that my strength is manifested. It's when I need him most that he shows himself. He restores my soul. He replenishes my strength. For in my weakness is his strength. When I am weak, then I am strong in the spirit. That's what abundant living is all about. Not about stuff, but about getting through life with God in it with you. Walking with you. Lifting you up when you need it. Sometimes we get that help from Christian friends because God inspires them and uses them to lift us up. That's what the church is all about. But sometimes when there is no friend, when there's nobody comes alongside you, you don't say, I have nobody, because you always, always have Jesus if you're one of his, if you're one of his sheep. But wait, there's more. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. You see, there are times in life when I don't know which path to take. Last 5 months, I've been struggling with that. I can stay here where I'm filled around a bunch of people who love Jesus and are working hard for Jesus. The great desire of my heart, and Pastor Randy's heart as well, was to finally be in a church where people serve God, and we're here. Who would want to leave that? That's the path I'm on. I want to stay on that path. But that is not the right path for me. It's a good path. It's a great path. But for my path, it's got to be God's path. Where does he want me? Because there's something better than good, and that's God's best. Where he wants me, I'm going to go where there's nobody that loves God or me. I'm going to say, whoa, you took me out of the frying pan, put me in the fire. He's going to take me to a land where I won't be as respected as I am here. Because they know about me there. I lived there for 25 years and started two churches. But it doesn't matter. You see, I'm going with Jesus. And he says, that's the path for you. It took me a little while to realize that, and I didn't want to go right away. I pouted and I squirmed and I tried to explain to God where he was wrong. Did you ever try that? Not a good plan. He doesn't put up with that nonsense long. He says, listen, do you want my best or are you satisfied? I said, Lord, I want your best. And he said, go where I want you to go. Follow me. Pick up your cross, which is an instrument of death. Die to yourself and what you want. Follow me. So I'm going there with eagerness, knowing, okay, whatever's down there is something God wants for me. It's got to be good. But it's hard. Yet I go back to this verse where he says, he guides me along the paths for his name's sake. When I don't know which path to take, whether it's the good or the best, he leadeth me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Remember that hymn? O words with heavenly comfort fraught. That means filled. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. Listen, his faithful follower I would be. For by his hand, he leadeth me. Listen, abundant life is knowing you're going where God wants and he's right there with you. In fact, he's ahead of you waiting for you. He's leading you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to build his kingdom. It's never about us. It's always about the shepherd. The sheep never say, we want to go over here. Because when they do, they wander away and he has to go chase after them, put them on his shoulder and carry them back. Because the shepherd decides where the sheep eat, where they sleep, where the quiet waters are. The shepherd makes those decisions. And guess what? The shepherd is always right. And the sheep usually aren't. They usually say, well, that looks pretty good over there. I believe I'll go over here. And they get caught in a thicket. Some lion comes and gets them. The shepherd isn't willing for the lion to get you. He's trying to lead you by his own hand. He leads you. Yeah, sometimes the grand old hymns say it best. You know, I don't know how anybody can navigate in this world amidst all of its temptations and snares and traps laid out against us without knowing there is a guide who knows where the traps are, knows the temptations, and has defeated every one of them. And that's the one walking through it. In the military, they have something called a guide dog. They're militarily trained dogs that sniff out these mines that explode. They are really, really heroes, and many of them come back missing limbs because they're out there looking for the landmines, the IEDs, and all the other stuff that would kill our soldiers. And they sniff them out, and when they find them, they stop right there, and nobody goes into that field until the mines are deactivated. Listen, Jesus is that dog that's gone ahead of you, and he knows where the mines are planted. And he knows what's there out to destroy you. And he will lead you on the path right through it. Why? Because he came to give you life and life to the full. Abundant life. We don't have to worry as long as you're following him. The only problem we have is many times, though he's with us, we don't follow him. But when you do, you're on the right path. That's abundant living. I lack nothing. Nothing. He gave me everything I need and does every day. He gives me peace like a river. He refreshes my soul. And he leads me where I should go. And you know the funny thing is, that's only half of Psalm 23. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all of Psalm 23 that way, but I want you to hear the rest of Psalm 23 again. Because in conclusion, he tells us the magnitude, the scope of this abundant life. The real truth about this abundant life. He says, look, even though you walk through the darkest valley, some of you have walked through cancer. Some of you have walked through heart attacks. Some of you have walked through all sorts of health problems. Some of you have walked through financial collapse, sometimes more than once. The Great Depression. I didn't live through that one. My grandpa did. But I went through the recessions, and I lost everything that I had in retirement when the stock market crashed back in the 90s. And I had to start all over again. Some of you went through that. But even though you walk through those dark valleys, I will fear no evil. I'm not afraid about that stuff. Why? For thou art with me. Notice how he's changed the tone from talking about God to talking to God. For you, God, you're with me. That's abundant life. Wherever I go, he is. He is the omnipresent God. He is at every time and every place and everywhere. At all times, at all places. And then he says the weird thing, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what a rod and a staff are used for? The staff is that gentle persuasion with a hook on the end that leads you away from danger. You know what the rod is? It's to whip you when you get out of line. And the Lord disciplines those he loves. And I've had the rod more than I'd had the staff, I think. Sometimes that's what I've needed. And you know that experience. And it doesn't feel good when it's done. Nobody likes discipline when it happens. But you like the result of what is wrought in you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me knowing that you won't let me go too far before you correct me. And then he says, you prepare a table. Right there in front of me. Right in the presence of my enemies. What table is he preparing for us? We don't get that. But that's a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb being prepared in the midst of all this you're going through. The table set. The dinner's prepared, the house is built, and you're going home one day to that table, right in the presence of your enemies, and they ain't going to get to go. Then he says, you anoint my head with oil. That is a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And if you're born again, you got the Holy Spirit, because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ, and he dwells in you, so you got it all. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right in you. It doesn't get any better than that. If you want to get something better than that, write a new Bible, because that's the Bible I got. The best there is to have Creator God living in me. You anoint my head with oil. And here it comes. This is what abundant life to the full is. My cup overflows. Now, you know, when I pour a cup of coffee, sometimes I pay attention to what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm like some of you. I start pouring that coffee and I start talking to somebody. You know what happens when I do that? The coffee goes over the cup and down onto the floor. Happened to me just last night. Can't believe I did that. Spilled the coffee. I mean, it's not gold, but I spilled my coffee, and it was embarrassing. But you know what that means when your cup overflows? Listen to this. It can't hold anymore. If it's overflowed, it's basically, if it's a cup could talk and say, quit it, I'm full. That's what Christians ought to be saying to God. God, enough, I've got all there is. I don't have any room for any more. And he says, oh, really? Have a little more. Because God wants your cup to overflow. Why? Because he wants the rest of the people in the world to catch the overflow. Out of the abundance of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. We aren't very evangelistic. More so than many churches, but not as evangelistic as we should, because we got the end of the book. We know what it means. We've got the writer of the book living in us. We've got abundant life. We've got to share it with somebody. Look around. People they're sad. They're miserable. They're fighting a fight without help. And you've got the help within you. And say to these people that are hurting, say, listen, I know you're having a rough time. I've been there. I've had a rough time. But guess what? There's one in me who gets me through the rough times. Do you have him? Can I share him with you? And most of the time they'll say, oh, yeah, who is he? And then you tell them. And some will say, oh, baloney on that. But there will always be one or two that says, that's real? That's true? I can have a relationship with the Creator? I've led many people to Christ who started out by saying, no way, Jose. But at the end of the day, they said, yes, Jesus. Why? Because finally they realized that what I walk and what I talk match. Does what you walk and what you talk match? He says, surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. You know, when a couple gets married, sometimes people will tie tin cans to their bumper. Put a big sign on their back of their car that says, just married. And sometimes they put gravel in their hubcaps. Terrible thing to do. And they're making all this noise running down there, just married. And everybody applauds them or makes fun of them or whatever. But you know what? When you got saved, the angels of heaven tied some tin cans on your bumper. You know what those tin cans were? Surely, goodness and love will follow me. Wherever you go, as you walk along, people are going to see goodness and love following you if you get married to Jesus. And they want what you got. They're celebrating what you have, and they want it. Surely goodness and love will follow me long as I live. And, in addition, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's abundant life. I'm so grateful that I have that true abundant life, not just stuff. Hey, listen, as the world judges wealth, I've got plenty of wealth, but that's not what my joy is in. My joy is in Jesus, where my abundant life rides. Life that I got in Jesus is abundant. And that life isn't measured by stuff, but by the presence of my Savior. So once in a while you may hear me say, just remind myself, I'm one of his sheep. What about you this morning? Are you into the prosperity gospel because you think that'd make you happier? Do you like watching it on TV and you like the smiles on the faces and it looks like they're all dressed to the nines? You say, wow, if I only had a Jesus that gave me that stuff, you're on the wrong path. But if you got the abundant life that I've got, why don't we celebrate more? Why don't we worship with more fervor? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Do you let him know it? Lord, you've done so much for me. I am so satisfied. There's nothing I can ask for that you haven't already done. You see, I ask you, are you satisfied with Jesus? But the real question isn't that. The real question is he satisfied with me? Am I a good sheep? I know he's the good shepherd. As I think on Calvary, the question comes to me, is my master satisfied with me? Stand with me, we're going to pray.